On today's special Devils in the Details, Lenny Yoro is joining Man United. We head straight to the podcast mics to talk about the 18-year-old center back from Lille. What's next after Yoro for United? Do they continue to pursue other center backs or begin to look at other positions? We also briefly mention other ongoing news, pursuits for current players such as Wan-Bissaka and McTominay, and what they might mean in the context of the team's transfer business this summer. Case, it is a beautiful sunny evening in Boston, Massachusetts, and you are sitting here on a podcast talking about a player who is, I'm going to take a guess and say a couple years younger than you, who has just joined Manchester United. How are you feeling on this fine evening? Are you as excited as I am in spite of the circumstances?
I'm definitely excited because this is such a departure from the way we've done business for so long. I don't really remember the last time we bought a player this young, who was this promising, who had this much competition for them, and it wasn't a panic buy. Like, I think the only remotely comparable instance I can think of is Tony Martial, but I don't even think that's comparable because I don't think he was as big a name as Yoro has become at the time, or at least I don't think he was coveted in the same way by Real Madrid, for example. So it's exciting. It's very exciting. How are you feeling? I know you were pretty amped up about this earlier today. So,
yeah, I mean, I've wanted Yoro for a while, and it's partially the excitement of thinking United have just signed a very good young player, which is exactly what we've wanted United to do for ages. And also partially the excitement of, you know, when you think a team should sign a player before they're even linked to that player, and then it actually ends up happening. That's always good fun, and so I'm excited to talk about Yoro in a deeper capacity than we have so far on this podcast. I think with that, maybe we should get straight into it. So Lenny Yoro has agreed a deal to join United, despite reported interest from Real Madrid, lesser but still reported interest from Liverpool, and the fee here seems to be coming around £42 million with about 8 or 9 million in add-ons. Some sources have some disagreement on the fee, but that seems to be the most widely reported figure. Case, why don't we start by giving our listeners an overview about Lenny Yoro from both of our time watching him, as well as how you think he fits into this United side?
Sure. So, yeah, I'd seen a little bit of Yoro before today, but today I did a really big deep dive. Aaron, you know that because I was sending you clips like all day. So I think let's start with the big picture. Yoro, for his age and just in general, has an awesome, awesome physical profile. Like, this is a very fast center back. This is a ludicrously agile center back. I think, can you think of any other center backs that play at the top level that are this agile?
Not really. I think there are some who use their body very well to appear close to as agile. I don't think there's any who have just the seemingly raw ability to turn, slow down, speed up, run backwards, run forwards, both on and off the ball that I've seen with Yoro. I can't think of many off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that John McKenzie, friend of the pod, mentioned when we were discussing Yoro with him was that he is one of the only center backs you will ever see get away with getting turned around. Like, he'll be, let's say he's got an attacker coming at him from his left, and so he's sort of running backwards, half oriented towards the ball, but also running backwards. So, we would call that if you're receiving the ball on the half turn, right? Sort of oriented towards one of the touch lines. In that instance, if the attacker goes to his right, instead of doing what most defenders will do, which is probably the technically correct thing to do, which is to keep your body facing the defender, or the attacker, I should say, keep your body facing the attacker as they go to your right, he'll just spin around. Like, he'll just completely show his back to the defender, and it almost never gets him, it almost never puts him in a bad situation, which kind of hints at something I'm going to talk about later, which is I do think there are some pretty big holes in his game technically as a defender, but I think it doesn't demonstrate exactly how ridiculous his physical toolkit is. He's also tall. He's 6'3". He's real skinny. I think he's only 160 pounds, 73 kilograms. So that's something to keep an eye on, but all the tools are there. And he's 18 years old. So I have no doubt he's going to grow into that frame. Yeah, so that's where I'd start. Anything else you want to say about sort of Euro physically?
Yeah, I mean, I think physicality, a clear strength here. He's quite fast and very agile, as you said. Yeah, one thing we've noted is that I think he almost hasn't quite yet unlocked the full capability that he probably has athletically, in that I think he is good at using his athleticism to expand, you know, the capabilities that he has as a defender overall. So a great example of that is things like recovery pace. Because he's very fast, he is already able to defend in a high line, and then when balls go over the top, have extreme pace to recover in those situations. But I don't think he actually plays very big yet, and I don't necessarily think he plays very fast yet. I think there's a lot of growth to do here in terms of kind of turning the athletic capabilities that he has into consistently getting to the right spot, consistently getting strong challenges in, consistently asserting himself physically in dual situations, both in dual situations when he doesn't have the ball and situations when he does. And so even though I think he's, as a player, quite reliant on his athleticism, I also think there's a lot of potential here for him to actually improve as a result of his athleticism. And one thing I think we talked a lot about with the Xerxes signing is that because Xerxes has these physical tools, he's big, he has really good agility as well for his size. He is quite fast. He can ride contact really well from opposition players, which is, I'd say, partially physical, partially technical. That gives him more room to grow as a whole, because it's a lot harder for a player to become a completely different athlete in their 20s than it is for a player to develop certain aspects of his technical play.
Yeah, so as a center back, when I'm talking about technicality, or at least when we're talking about technicality for the next 5-10 minutes, let's say, we're talking about defending, you know, how you approach defending technically, right? There are a lot of holes here. I really like Euro. The price is reasonable, I think, given what he is, but I think people are partially expecting that he's going to come in here and be like an impact center back, make a really big difference for this team, and I'm not convinced that is true. And the reason for that is he's got some very big things he needs to work on. Namely, and we mentioned this the other day, he really struggles defending attackers who are receiving the ball with their back to goal. When he has to go tight to those players, like you mentioned, he's not very good at leveraging his physicality. I don't think he actually is very strong right now. And so he's not strong in duels. He doesn't assert himself, impose himself physically on those players. And as a defender, when you have an attacker receiving with their back to goal, you're actually at an advantage. And that's a situation you want to capitalize on, keep them from turning, lock them down, and hopefully really win a challenge so you can prevent layoffs, link-up play, and the attack moving forward. I would say this is a huge hole in his game. And the most clear one that I've seen, he's very weak in these situations. Part of it, like I mentioned this again last week, is he really trusts his agility, so he doesn't mind the opposing player turning on the ball and then just dribbling at him because he thinks he can win that battle most of the time. And I think for the most part that is true, but he gets sucked in. There's some... It's a real risk, and he needs to get better at this. This is something that Lindelof, for example, is very, very poor at. So that would be the first major issue I see. Anything you want to say about that before I move on to the next one?
In terms of back to goal, I think a question many people might have from what you said is, if Yoro is so successful at stopping attackers once they turn, why might it be a problem that he lets them turn? And I think the answer to that question is because I think he becomes, when he lets them turn, very good at defending in the event that they dribble at him. But I think there are other scenarios that that opens up for attackers that can be very dangerous for a defensive side. For example, if it's close to the box, there are many scenarios I've seen where Yoro backs off, lets the attacker turn, and then they unexpectedly shoot, and it forces the goalkeeper into a save. And if the shot was better, it could have been a goal. There are situations where Yoro steps back and tries to defend, and then the forward turns and is able to pick out a pass.
Yeah, that's the real thing for me, is the layoffs. A lot of the time you'll see him come up with an attacker receiving back to goal, and he won't really put in a challenge. He'll just be present, be behind them so that they don't turn, and they'll just lay it off really quickly, and he's cut out of play. And he has great recovery pace, so it doesn't like totally kill him every time, but it's totally unnecessary, and top center backs don't let this happen.
Yeah, I think athletically, it's not a good comparison, but I would almost say he's like the opposite of Lisandro Martinez in this sense, where if you ever watch Lisandro defend in situations where he has to play up against a physical striker, he doesn't always obviously have the beating of the striker physically, but in the event that he does get turned, he is not allowing that player to run away from him, to receive the ball with their back to him, turn, and run. He is almost always either being aggressive, essentially suffocating the forward's ability to turn on the ball, and then in the event that they manage to turn him, he's fouling them. And I think that level of decisiveness and application of his physicality could make Yoro a defender that's less prone to conceding high-quality shots at goal, particularly in central attacking areas. I think that's what you're getting at here.
Yeah. And definitely. So I guess that's it on back to goal play, which again, I think is a really key thing. You mentioned something earlier, which was how he reads the flight / roll of the ball. And I want to touch on this as well. I definitely think he has some trouble reading the flight path of long balls. You'll get him, like, this is another thing where you'll see him get sucked in a lot, and then let it bounce, and then it bounces, the bounce is bigger than he's expecting, and suddenly he's caught in a foot race with sometimes an attacker who has more momentum than he has, and he loses as a result. You know, you wind up with some really dangerous situations like that. It doesn't happen often, but it happens enough that I noticed it, and I think you noticed it too. What do you think about this? What do you think this is down to?
Yeah, so a lot of situations that come up a lot in high-line defending where Yoro can't decide whether to back off, let a forward take a touch on the ball in front of him, and then delay that forward's ability to make a pass or dribble. And obviously, in the event that they dribble, he is excellent at dealing with it. Or whether to commit, try and win the initial duel, be aggressive, and again, if you lose that duel, foul, don't let the forward get away. And I think it feels like a very classic case of the ball moves faster at senior level than it does at previous levels at which I've played the game. I haven't gone and watched Yoro at youth levels, but what I would suspect is that perhaps at youth level, he was able to either be more decisive or the situation was occurring slower. And so it allowed him to be more physically dominant, make make clearer decisions, and come away with the ball or step back super effectively. And so it's not something I'm terribly worried about him adapting to. It seems mostly mental, but what it often looks like is he'll decide to step up and not quite be as aggressive as he should be because he realizes maybe he should have backed off, and then half-heartedly go into a challenge, and the forward gets away with the ball and Yoro's on the ground. Or he decides to step back and then the forward has one touch, and because the forward has momentum and he's kind of standing still and backpedaling a little bit, the forward has enough time to knock the ball past him or over him and then just run for it, and it becomes a foot race. And so I think a lot of this comes down to when he gets set and he can read the play in front of him easily, I think he's already a very good defender at this level. When
I agree.
He isn't sure where or how the possession will settle as pertains to his role in the defense, I think he struggles sometimes to make the right decision and then often relies on his ability to recover in those scenarios, which isn't really what I think most big fee, big club center backs at the highest level are doing. But again, I think he's just 18, and I think this is the type of thing that you expect with a player with this amount of minutes in this position at such a high level. He's like, I really don't think we can emphasize enough how young he is in comparison to what the usual players in this position are. Like, we talked about Jared Branthwaite as a future top defender. Branthwaite is 3 years older than Yoro. When we looked at lists of center backs who United could be recruiting, most of them were two or more years older than Yoro. And so I think a lot of this is something that you have to keep an eye on and give him time to figure out at this level. But also the types of things that once he figures out, big clubs and massive fees would be in question for him. So yeah, I just thought I'd add that in, but so not to sound too negative about him when I think these are totally expected deficiencies in his game for his
age.
It's
a good point. I was kind of planning on and I'd leave this in because I think it's a fair point, and you're right that it probably does sound like we're being very negative, but I actually just wanted to get all the negatives out of the way so we could talk about the fun stuff. Yes, you're absolutely right. He's really young, and I think I still want to go through a few more negatives, some weaknesses that I've seen, but they're almost all down to A, I think physical strength and a willingness to assert that physical strength, which is just something that 18-year-olds grow into. Like most 18-year-olds aren't even playing senior football specifically for this reason. So I think that's a huge part of it. And then another part of it is some game reading / like technical, how to approach players, angles, stuff like that, which again, I think is super, super learnable. So I think the main takeaways that you should look at here are, this is an 18-year-old, from what we've said already, we're going to say more. This is an 18-year-old, he's ludicrously fast, he's incredibly agile, and he has a frame to grow into, and he's already relatively effective because of those things. So I think that's, to put a bow on that for the time being. But it's a fair point. So the other things that I want to touch on, we talked about how he does in these back-to-goal situations. I also think when he is caught out of position, in particular when Lille gave up the ball, and, you know, he had to make a quick recovery, an early build-up often, he'll overrun attackers who are on the ball. And a lot of the time it means fakes, dummies, changes of direction are pretty effective against him, just because when he gets going, like, he's very fast. And I think this is sort of just something he's going to have to learn. Like, it's in a way like his physical ability becoming a disadvantage, and like also overzealousness. Like, he just goes in way too hard, takes the wrong angle a lot of the time in these situations, and gives up high quality shots as a consequence. So that's a major thing. And then that goes in with a lot of stuff. Like, I think tackling technique he could really work on. He's 18, not a big concern. This is the other thing in terms of strength. Something that was really bothering me that I've seen him do quite a bit is, you know, he's very fast. He's very good when he's isolated against a dribbler. But he'll win foot races, square off an attacker, right? Seal them off and sort of be ushering the ball out of play, whether it be for a throw-in or for a corner. And then he'll get minimal contact on his back and flop. And this is just not something you really want to see from a center back. And I think this will just come with strength. Like, he'll get stronger and he'll realize this is not the right way to get out of these situations, because he isn't even bad under pressure. I think when he does have the ball and he stays on his feet, But a few times I've seen him flop, not get the call, and then huge chance comes from it, which I really you do not want to see a center back doing that in the Premier League. So yeah, those are the remaining major bits that I wanted to touch on.
Yeah, I think he plays sometimes a little bit too fast. I don't know if that comes from a personal perception of how defensive players should approach dueling situations, but I think sometimes he plays like, you know, he was told that the faster the ball is won, the better, as opposed to, you know, the more often you win the ball, or the more consistently and efficiently you win the ball, the better. I really think he could do with just slowing down in certain situations. When you arrive physically, instead of, you know, a great example of this is how he lets strikers turn and run at him a little bit. If you just physically assert yourself and delay and don't let the striker turn, you won't have to deal with the dribbling situation anyways, even if it might be easier to let the striker turn and then initiate the duel immediately. Just draw attackers in, force mistakes, and then when they don't make mistakes, you still have options to prevent them from having the angles to play the game the way they want to play. And then you don't get forced into as many mistakes if you defend a little bit more. I'm not going to say conservatively, because sometimes I think he could be more aggressive, but more consistently, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I don't know if he was taught to play the game that fast. My guess is at youth level, I mean, if you look at how dominant he is physically at senior level, at youth level, I think he probably could have just run anyone down that he wanted to, and nobody was going to, there weren't players sophisticated enough to dummy him or to turn him. Like, it just didn't happen. And so he's just going to have to improve technically in these ways so that they don't happen. Yeah, I don't know. I think this all sounds bad, and I think if he was 23, it would be really concerning, but because he's 18, it's not really concerning at all. Like, these are all things that he can round out of his game, I think. And yeah, did you want to touch on the flopping slash the physical weakness in some instances?
No, I mean, I think you got it. I think it's partially about strength, but also I think decision-making in some senses. Yeah. I think sometimes he voluntarily does go down looking for a foul. And it's a trait that you like when it's, you know, an attacking midfielder who's about to lose the ball. But when it's a defender, you really just, you don't want your defender to go down under any circumstances, really. You want them to try to stay up unless they are so fouled that they can't defend the scenario anymore.
Yeah. And if you're going to get fouled, you got to go down on the ball and grab it. Like, you gotta hold it and make the ref make a call.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think the last note I will say on his defensive technical ability is, I think this is a player who has the potential to be very dominant in the air, but he plays like the same things we've said about ground duels. I think he can be a little bit passive in approaching aerial duels. Sometimes I think he can misjudge the flight of the ball when it's coming from the wings. So yeah. if a player, like if a winger or a fullback hits the ball across the face of the defense laterally, particularly in the air, I think he can sometimes struggle to sort that out in time to get the header clear. Again, I think this is honestly down to the fact that the ball moves faster at senior level. I think he is probably very young in adjusting to his frame. And I'm not particularly worried about it. I think odds are he will be a value add aerial player towards the prime of his career. But I think it's worth noting in the context of, you know, a partner for Lisandro Martinez and playing for United, because we were talking about how we wanted a center back who was really dominant in the air. I think he has the potential to be that. I don't think he is that right now. And I don't think that's like a key facet of his game, despite his height.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think right now he's probably average for a center back in the Premier League, but I think he'll very quickly become above average. And I totally see the space for him to be elite. Like, I don't think he's a liability in the air right now. It's more that, yeah, I think he misreads the flight of the ball, and he doesn't really have the strength to impose himself and sort of establish the footing that he wants and then launch from there. Sometimes he'll sort of get pushed off balance and miss the ball as a consequence. Again, that's all about adding strength. So not something I'm really that worried about. So let's talk about in possession. Aaron, how about you talk about a little bit of what you saw in possession since I've been the one talking all this time?
Yeah, sure. So we discussed Matthijs de Ligt a lot in possession when we spoke about him in that episode. We also spoke about Branthwaite a lot in possession. I think a lot of what we said about those two players was that, specifically with de Ligt, he is generally okay at the press resistance and secure in his passing ability, refined, but not ambitious, not particularly progressive, doesn't really do much other than play the ball to his center back partner or his right full back, or occasionally when presented the opportunity, play a simple rolling pass into a defensive midfielder to take into stride. At this exact point, I don't think Yoro is particularly different in that sense. I think his passing game is largely a lot of passes spreading it out to the fullback, a lot of passes passing to his center back partner, a lot of rolling the ball into a defensive midfielder who can take the ball in stride. That being said, I think the fundamentals here from a technical standpoint are a lot better than someone like de Ligt. We talked about his agility. I think he's very good at when he asserts himself physically. I think he's very good at turning under pressure and being able to play balls out of difficult situations. I think his longer passing is probably better. I think he's pretty good at hitting diagonal passes, pretty good at spreading the play over longer ranges. And I do think there's a little bit more potential here to unlock slightly more ambitious passing, particularly in a well-coached setup. I think because he is able to carry the ball out of pressure, turn under pressure, and in general play well-weighted passes, I think that could likely materialize into being able to play more complex passes and be a little bit more progressive in a possession-based system as he develops a little bit more into senior football. I think the ceiling here is probably a very good in possession player. I don't think you're looking at like a Lisandro Martinez level player, but truth be told, I think Lisandro is probably the best or one of the best center backs in the sport at this right now. I don't really think that's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah.
And so I think all of that is to say, I think you have a center back here who is going to be very comfortable on the ball, never really going to be a problem building out of the back, and in general could improve to be actually a very progressive player and a helpful player in getting the ball from the defensive third to the middle third, or from the first phase of build up to the second phase of build up.
Yeah, I think I agree with most of that. I agree the big difference between him and de Ligt is that he can turn on the ball. Yoro, let's to be specific, Yoro can turn on the ball, which is pretty rare for center backs, but he's so agile, like you said, and he has pretty good awareness, at least in possession, such that he can, I'd say his potential under pressure is awesome. And that is pretty exciting. I agree about the passing range. He's got very good passing range, in terms of diagonals, not always consistent with the deliveries. I'm not actually sure he's better at this than de Ligt is right now, but I see him getting better. I think I agree with the rest of it. I think this is I think Yoro, to sort of compare him to who United have, I think he's better on the ball than Varane easily. I think he's better than Lindelof. I think he is not as good as Maguire. I think that's where he lands.
I think Maguire is quite good at some high value passes from center back. In particular, a ball over the top to wingers. He kind of, if you can picture this, cuts in on his right foot from the left side and then sort of plays this like outswinging ball, which arrives at a fullback or a winger. And even though it's still a pass from a center back to a wide player, it breaks lines with a reasonable frequency and forces opposition defenses to reorganize and allows the attacker to receive with a slightly different orientation to, you know, a typical ball from a center back outwards to a fullback. I also think Maguire has a little bit more comfort carrying the ball into midfield But I think I would say I don't think it would be difficult for Yoro to be as good as or better than Maguire in possession. In particular, I think my main concern with Maguire is I think he is comfortable under a press, but I don't think he's particularly press resistant at this level. I think he can be forced into mistakes, particularly when turning on the ball. And I don't think that will be as much of a problem with Yoro.
Yeah, so I agree about the press resistance for sure. But I think Maguire is a much more... I think he wants the ball in possession a lot more. I think he's a much better distance passer. I also think he is a way better ball carrier. Yoro doesn't really carry the ball into midfield as much as I can tell. Not to say that he couldn't at some point, but Maguire does.
I think that's kind of what I was going for. Like, Maguire has a level of, I think, command in first phase buildup or in buildup in general, where he demands the ball. He is very insistent on progressing the ball. But I do think a lot of the benefits that he offers are mental, in terms of how he conceives the game and build up as a whole, as opposed to technical, where I think he kind of excels at specifically passing really well or carrying really well. Not that I think he's bad at those things. You obviously can't be as good a passer or carrier as Maguire while being a poor technical player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think in the highly athletic, high octane pressing environment within which top flight football is now played, Yoro has a ceiling in possession much higher, much, much higher than that of Maguire. And he could realistically surpass him very quickly, I think.
I've said throughout the window that Yoro was my first choice in terms of center backs United could sign. I maintain that. I do think there are deficiencies that, you know, as much as possible, we have to be patient with and allow him the chance to develop within this team. I don't think this is the same case of buying like a ready-made starter for a Champions League team in the way that someone like De Ligt would be, or even to a lesser extent to Debo. But I think that the combination of skills that he has, the age, the price tag, I think they make him a much more promising prospect as a transfer than some of those players, even if I would be quite happy with United signing those players. And in particular, I think you see with those players, a lot of them have reached their mid-20s and still have glaring deficiencies in their game. Whether that ends up being Yoro, I think it's possible, but I think with the right management and development, he could really become a very well-rounded defender, and one that's pretty difficult to get the better of. And so I think that's why I would still say I'm pretty happy with Yoro as a signing. Like you said, I think the fee is reasonable. And I think he's a good partner for Lissandro, at least prototypically. And I think this will likely end up being a good signing for United. And at present, I think it's a smart signing and the type of signing I've been hoping United would make this window.
I agree with most of that. I guess what I would add is, I think from what we said today, you could get the impression that he's not actually a very good defender in real time. And I do want to say he was part of the starting center back pairing for a Lille side that was the third best defensive team in Liga. So this is he's still a good defender in real time. I just think for the most part, he's getting by on elite physicals and the fact that he does defend 1v1s well and read the game pretty well in general when it's in front of him. Like you said, sort of when it's settled. So as much as the holes are there, there's so much to like. And also, like you mentioned this earlier, but I don't think we emphasize it enough, he is so young for a center back. Like so, so, so young. How many 18-year-olds are starting every match in a top five league?
As far as the Premier League goes, I think the answer is actually probably zero.
Yeah, exactly. And I think across the rest of the top five leagues, he may be one of two or three. That's a huge outlier. Like, I think it's easy to look at an 18-year-old and say, oh, he's not so different from a 20-year-old. But those 2 years are a huge difference. That's 2 years of development time. And yeah, so when you look at signing an 18-year-old versus a 22-year-old, the 18-year-old doesn't need to be anywhere near as good as a 22-year-old to justify a similar fee, insofar as there's space for him to grow into. And I think that's true of Yoro. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this, but I will say my one last negative thought is I don't think he should be starting frequently for this team. I think you try to protect him as much as you can, because I think really good attackers, and the Premier League has a lot of really good attackers, can exploit some holes in his game.
I think that's a good segue into what's next after Yoro for United. United have been linked to many players across many positions. We talked about a lot of them on Monday. Do you think this perhaps is the first of two center backs and that ends up being the next deal being done? Or do you think you would start to look at maybe central midfield?
I think given that this was the first center back signing, there has to be another center back signing. So I don't know. Both things need to happen. I think really right now you need another center back, you need another center, you need a midfielder, and you need a fullback, probably a left back, at the very, very least, going into next season. It seems like they've got other balls rolling in terms of other center backs, and so I think that's probably the next thing I would do, just because I think we could be hearing about the next center back, I think, this weekend, maybe early, like mid next week. If things are actually as far along with these other deals as they appear to be. So that would be my next priority. What about you?
Yeah, there's some conflicting reports about center back that I think we could talk about here. I have seen some assertions from credible journalists that United don't want both De Ligt and Yoro, that what they want is a left-footed center back who could cover for... who could start in any of Lissandro, Yoro, or possibly even at left back, in any of those three positions, and then potentially to also sign a fullback. And I think that kind of explains the angle with Jared Branthwaite, but obviously there's some kind of disagreement on the valuation. So I think what I would go ahead and say is if Branthwaite is in fact too expensive, I would sign both Yoro and De Ligt. And look at left back separately, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't think it makes sense to try to buy Branthwaite to use him as both a left center back and a left back. I think that's, yeah, I think if you go get De Ligt, you go get Ugarte, that's good business. I don't think United are that much better from last season, but I think they can be more consistent. And I also think there's a lot of room for growth. So I think that is awesome. I love room for growth and consistency.
Yeah, I would be content with De Ligt and Ugarte now that Yoro is done. I still think I'm a fair bit more excited about De Ligt than I am about Ugarte. And I think now that Yoro is coming in, I'm a lot more excited about De Ligt than I am about Ugarte, because I think you've kind of signed that upper potential player, and now you're also adding squad consolidation, youth, depth, and starting quality. So I think that's kind of like a nice balance of recruitment at center back, whereas in midfield, I do think you end up replacing Ugarte in a few years' time. But I do think those are next. Let's talk a little bit about players being linked away as well. Aaron Wan-Bissaka reportedly is drawing interest from West Ham for a 15 to 20 million seemingly-ish pound move. I think that's probably the key to signing another fullback. What do you think about that?
I would be in favor of it. I don't see him as a part of the squad long term.
Yeah, I think what I wonder is how they look to cover both the gap at left back, which has been talked about a lot, and the gap at right back, which has been masked a lot by how good Dalo has been. But I don't think you can rely on Dalo for 60 matches next season. I think that kind of explains why there are some quiet links to someone like Ferdi Kadıoğlu, who plays on both sides. I still want to go and watch Kadıoğlu a little bit more rigorously than just his matches at the Euros, which were all from the left for Turkey. Yeah, I think that could be something to keep an eye on. There have also been links from McTominay towards a move. There have been a few links abroad, particularly in Turkey, and then also links in the Premier League. Fulham reportedly showing some interest. I don't know how reliable those are. Same kind of thing. Like Wan-Bissaka, McTominay is entering the last year of his deal at United. He did have a very good season last season, I would say. What do you think here? Do you think it's sell McTominay to buy a midfielder? Do you think McTominay ends up going?
I'm going to guess McTominay does not go. I don't know if it's sell McTominay, get a midfielder. I think if you do sell McTominay, I honestly think that the main thing that you need to do is go get another player who can offer you a box occupation and set piece threat, which is strange to say. But yeah, I think as much as I love certain aspects of Xerxes' game, it's not something you can... I don't feel like you can count on him for goals. Whereas McTominay last season, he seemed to give you a goal every time you needed one. Now, I don't know how sustainable that is, but he certainly was a source of big chances late in games. And so that would be my worry with that. But I do think there's definitely a price at which you sell him, just because there are a lot of holes, long-term holes that need to be plugged in this team, and he doesn't really plug any of them.
Yeah, so I think what we'll do is we'll keep an eye on the McTominay deal as well as the midfielder links. Right now, Manuel Ugarte is the leading name. We'll keep an eye on fullback, Aaron Wan-Bissaka's potential departure, links to Kadıoğlu, potentially some links to some others. We mentioned Miguel Gutierrez earlier this week on the podcast. And then we'll keep an eye on other center backs. I think there's a chance that you see names come into the fold that aren't Branthwaite or De Ligt, if it is true that United don't want to sign another right-footed center back, but I also wouldn't be surprised if United now go ahead and sign someone like De Ligt, especially given how public both reports from the player and from both clubs have been. With that, we'll continue to keep you posted. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're as excited about the signing of Lenny Yoro as we are, and we'll be back on Monday for our usual weekly upload. Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this week's Devils in the Details. You can follow us at DevilsITDPod on Twitter or on a variety of streaming platforms. Our awesome theme music was made by Jacob Connor. You can find at Jacob J. Connor on Twitter. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.